confusing amount of time ago, on a particularly strange world, in the infinite weirdness of the far time stream, two monsters met and fell deeply in love. Every single action has unforeseen consequences, and it so happens that the consequences of romance are often far more wide-reaching than most would expect. Turns out this romance was critical to the whole timeline, and now the shadowy agents of Daipuk have thrown the whole thing off course. Your mission, as Cupid, Cuties United Preventing Interdimensional Disaster, is to research the target, repair the relationship, and escape undiscovered. Hi, I'm Laura. You might know me from Dice Funk. We're doing a little one-shot today of a game I helped make. It's called Kissing in the Weird Future. We're gonna do time travel and make aliens kiss. Who have I got with me helping make aliens kiss today? Who are you?
I am Stacy. I'm half of the Geek Remix channel on Twitch and YouTube. You may know my partner in crime, Mari, from Dice Funk. I also know Laura from our Pixel Squirt podcast, where we review video game related porn.
We have quite a career going. Like,
sounds so absurd, but it's been a very fun project. Yeah.
It's been a real highlight of being able to do that. Who else do we have here today helping aliens kiss?
I'm Joa, and I use she and they pronouns. You are much less likely to know who I am, but you might know me as at Pussyful of Wasps on Twitter. The credits for Dice Fox. And Austin Yorski is my partner, so that's how I've like stumbled into Dice Funk. Also been best friends with Lord Morgan, who was on seasons 2 through 7 of Dice Funk. And I do this from time to time. I'm really excited to be here, to be kissing and being weird. And during the day, I fund social justice projects through grant writing, and that's at Change Funding. We're funding for social change, just a radical collective of grant writers and designers who convince rich people to give us their money we can fund protests and shit. And yeah, it's really great. I love it.
I mean, it's very interesting that you talk about social justice-y, activism-y, protest-y things. Who else have we got helping us make aliens kiss tonight?
Hey, it's me. My name's, I'm pretty sure it's Amelia. I'm one of the co-founders of Transactivism UK alongside Laura. So basically, yeah, we go shout at people. For good reasons, of course, mainly transphobes. And the BBC.
Hey, government and government TV institutions, you're being shitty. We're going to come shout at you.
Exactly. Yeah, we shout at bad people. Not good people, though. We like those.
We like the good ones.
Exactly. But beyond that, I play video games and stream on Twitch sometimes. Yeah. But that's me.
Hooray. Well, I should talk a little bit about what we're playing. As I mentioned up front, we are playing a game called Kissing in the Weird Future. If you're curious about this game, the basis of it was made in an hour on a podcast called More Like Guidelines, where a title will be given and you have an hour to try and make a tabletop game based on that title. and we fleshed it out, and it now appears in a book called Pretentious Games for Villains and Bastards. now, the basics of this game, as I said, we're going to be playing as some Cupids. So we're going to be playing as time-traveling little babies with wings, probably. I don't want to write the character for you. Maybe they're not a traditional Cupid, we'll see. But it's a very rules-like game. You have two stats, kissing and weird future. They're very simple. Kissing is for anything to do with romance, flirting, interpersonal relationships, any, like, you know, making people like each other stuff. Weird future is hostility, technology, weird stuff, everything that isn't those people are being nice and having a hug. I'm going to give a little overview before we get started. This is a game where everything about the scenario has not been decided by me, the DM. We have some random tables we are going to be rolling numbers within, and that will dictate the story we're telling today, so that's going to be fun. But first, to our players today, tell me about your cherub. What's your cherub like?
I think if I was going to be a cherub, I like just first rule, like I've got to have like little like fairy wings, not like feathered wings, but like those like nice, like pretty translucent ones.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to be naked. Because,
of course.
Because, like,
that just got you out of designing an outfit. I love that. Look, why did I fucking think of that?
Excuse.
Look, the rule book says that you need an extremely extra outfit, and I think just going naked is a very extra way to pick your outfit.
Okay, well, I mean, since my character may need some accessories, we'll say that can my cherub be like am I a baby or am I an adult?
I mean, look, I was picturing this as your sort of, like, very baby-esque.
I ask myself that every day.
Look, I'm picturing your sort of typical baby-esque cherub. You do not have to follow those rules by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, I mean, only asking because, like, I was thinking, like, oh, if the cherub's like me, then it has nipple piercings. And then I was like, that would be weird for a baby. So maybe I should just ask.
You can be a full adult cherub with nipple piercings, otherwise completely nude if you like.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to be an adult cherub. I have pink hair, and I have nipple piercings, and I have fairy wings. But otherwise, very cherub-like, you know, floating around, yeah. Making people kiss, all that good stuff.
Joa!
Incredible. Okay, yeah, so when we started talking about, for some reason, I designed my whole character without thinking about, also like 30 minutes before this call, without thinking about how long they were, and I want to say that they're like an elongated cherub.
Oh.
So if Slenderman and a cherub
okay.
became one.
Okay.
I'm a creepy little cherub. My name's Skillet. I am wearing clothes. And yeah, I think I have black feathery wings.
Ooh.
But I'm very strappy. I'm very, yeah. I had, ever since I saw the music video Broken by Evanescence.
Yeah.
I've wanted those wings. So today is the fucking day.
Today's,
I get to wear those
today's
wings.
The day. Stacey, did your character have a name? I forgot to ask.
I didn't name them, but, like, let's just go with the Evanescence vibes, and we'll say Ephemera.
Oh, I like this a lot.
I love that.
Amelia, tell me about your cherub.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just to start, my cherub has no hair that you can see, but the hair is infinite and held in a hat made entirely of cheese. Following from this...
Yes, okay. We brought the cheese.
Following from this, I am wearing a McDonald's manager shirt because in another timeline, I am a McDonald's manager. Not this one, but another. And in my arms, I have two of those Poundland Halloween pitchforks that you get.
Oh, only the terrible cheap plastic things.
Exactly, yes. With the tag still on.
Yeah.
And yes, my name is Skittles.
Skittles.
Why?
Wonderful.
Because I am looking over at a bag of Skittles.
I think that's a good name.
It's got the right pacing to it. Now, in a second, I will go over the phases of the game, but there is one more thing you have to decide for your characters. You've got your two stats as we laid out, kissing and weird future. You have 6 points to split between kissing and weird future in any combination you like. Higher is a better number. You need at least 1 point in each, so you could have 5 in kissing, 1 in weird future, or any combination around that. So I will need everyone to decide how good at kissing are you and how weird future are you.
I think I'm going to go for a 2 in kissing and a 4 in weird future.
All right, we're on the same page, Skittles, because Skillet... Skittles and Skillet. Skillet's got 1 in kissing and 5 in weird future.
That works out great because I was going 5 in kissing, 1 in weird future.
Oh, I love this. This is perfect. This is wonderful. So, the way that these stats work is basically whenever you're trying to do something that feels like it might be challenging, I will ask you as a player to roll a d6 and... you're basically trying to roll underneath your stat. So if you're trying to do, you're trying to meet or fall below your stat. So if you've got, say, a 5 in kissing and you want to do a kissing thing, you roll a dice. As long as you get a 5 or lower, you're good. You're pretty much guaranteed to do it. But there are some ways we can change the stats. And let's say that you are either moved by a particularly powerful display of emotion. You could maybe move a point towards kissing. If you are unnerved by the weird world you're in, you could move a point towards weird future. These stats can be changed if you're not digging where they're at. We've got mechanics for that. But generally, you've got to try and get at or below that number for the stat that seems applicable.
I feel like this is putting a lot on Ephemera to do a lot of emotional labor for us.
Yeah, you just the other two of you have just got to be like cool weirdos.
Yeah, yeah, we're just gonna be lingering.
I mean, look, I kind of dig the idea of just being like this like punk naked like romantic weirdo.
I mean, look, you having all the kissing stats has made me just think of like the summer of free love hippies, and it's like, yes, I'm completely naked and I believe in love and kindness and togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
Power, man.
I believe, yeah. Man.
Whoa.
So, before we set up the world, I'm going to give you just like the very basic overview of how this game works. There are three phases that we will be doing. First time that you drop into this world we're going to go to is the recon phase. You get to grips with the world, you try and find out about the target monster, you make your plan of how you're going to make them fall in love. This is your, like, info gathering stage. Then, you got the romance phase. You get one chance to rewind, go back to the beginning of the timeline, and try and make the romance happen. And then, at the end, there's the final kissing gauntlet, in which Daipuk, who are a mysterious organization of just big, burly, angry human men. They claim to be cherubs. They have not given off cherub vibes. Will attempt to destroy your carefully crafted romantic moment, and you will have to think on your feet to prevent them from ruining the romance.
That is
basically how things are going to go today.
Is basically like that plot in Clueless where they're trying to set up the two teachers with each other.
Yeah, you've got one time rewind, but basically, yes.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say Cupids are cuties united preventing interdimensional disaster, but what are Daipuks?
Daipuk have never explained what their acronym means. It's one of those, like, maybe it means something, or maybe they're just edgy and trying to be the anti-Cupid, and they haven't, like, they'll be like, oh, well, oh, you don't know what it stands for. Well, right, excellent. So let's set up the world. Each mission takes place on an utterly new alien world inhabited by unique intelligent life forms. We're gonna roll some dice to generate some things. Let me have a look. What do we generate first? Ooh, yes, I know what we're gonna roll first. I'm gonna roll a 10-sided dice for each of you to generate a secret romance item.
Ooh.
Each member of the party has smuggled one item from somewhere else in the time stream to take on this mission. Actually, I'll say this. If you've got a thing you'd like to come up with as your secret romance item, you're welcome to. Or I can roll a d10 and have an item generated for you.
That is
so
tricky.
I had some creepy things that I came up with.
Oh, come up with it. No, give me your creepy romance item. What's your item that you're going to use?
So I have the infinite pet hand.
Yeah.
So it's like the thing-ty thing from Adam's Family.
Yes.
Just a floating hand. But it, you know, it pets you infinitely.
Okay. Well, let's hope these aliens like petting.
Let's hope they like pets.
Yeah. So the way, just to give some context, this secret romance item, you'll be able to use it at one point today to get a guaranteed success on something. It's up to you when you save it for, and you're going to have to justify how it's going to help. But you can bring a thing, and we'll see how it helps.
I also thought of the horny jail bonk bat.
Yeah.
I think so. That would be a great romance fight. But I guess it's the antithesis to romance.
I mean, if someone wants, like, the horny jail, anti-horny jail bonk, I don't know how...
Oh. That's giving me anti-chastity chapstick vibes.
I mean, that is one of the things
number five.
That is on the list. Yeah. If anyone would like, shall I roll some d10s?
I would love. Yeah, cool. I'll go with a dice roll from Laura.
Let's see what the dice. You got number 8. You've got rose tinted glasses.
Ooh, that fits with my hippie punk vibe.
It does, and I'm sure you can find a way to use that. Amelia, would you like a d10 roll to find out what your item is?
I think I've got one, actually.
Oh, tell me what you've got.
I have a 1910 gramophone and a copy of Careless Whisper on vinyl.
Oh, wow. Oh, impressive. Right, so in that case, let's start generating the world. We're gonna find out what the monster's gonna look like, what they're gonna act like. Let's do some dice rolls.
I wanna say, Ephemera, those rose tinted glasses really go well with your pink hair.
Oh yeah. I'm very excited about it, to be honest. I'm imagining them with like those perfectly round frames.
Yes.
The ones that are like not big enough to cover your full eye. So it's just like the little.
And since it's your single clothing item, that's also really good.
Don't forget, I have nipple piercings as my other clothing item.
Okay.
So I'm going to need someone to write down in the Discord our first descriptive word for the species of aliens we're going to be encountering. Argumentative.
You got it.
Ooh, the next. So fast.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Okay, our next descriptor is deadly and mechanical. So, we have a species of argumentative, deadly, mechanical aliens that we are encountering. Now, I'm going to leave this open to the three of you. What are you picturing when we get these three descriptive words?
Karen.
So, okay, I'm
sorry.
I'm kind of picturing like almost like the angry version of like Bender from Futurama. So they love to just argue about everything, play devil's advocate, and they're robots. So when these confrontations get very intense, they often turn violent and deadly. So people don't tend to work out their problems. They just kind of tend to, like, fight and then shoot each other to resolve conflict is how I'm imagining it.
Yeah. And anyone else got anything they'd like to add into this picture? Because this is about us building these aliens together.
It's so funny you mentioned Futurama because I was thinking of Femputer. Just, like, walking around, like, a physical Femputer with a chainsaw. So, like, very catty, but also very, I'm going to rip you to shreds in a moment's notice.
I don't know how much of this is a UK reference point, but all I can picture is Matilda from Robot Wars. Which is a show where people made their own robots to fight in a big fight ring. It was a weird, violent robot pit.
Is that, like, the one where there's always that one robot? There's always the one with, like the chainsaw blade, and then there's one that's literally just designed with no weapon. It just has a scoop to flip the robot over.
Yes.
And that one always wins because then it's like, okay, I'm just gonna flip you over on your side and then
But talking about shooting, I think like laser eyes. I immediately thought laser eyes. But then I realized we're making things harder for ourselves. So now we have to figure out how to deal with fucking lasers.
Oh no, you've said it now. We've got lasers to deal with. So we have a couple of things I need to roll on a table here as well. Let me just find them.
Well, for me, like, figuring as, like, my romantic self, I'm already envisioning that, like, these people, like, or these robots, all they do is fight and, like, so much conflict. And if someone can just show them a little bit of love and kissing, then maybe they will learn to enjoy their lives again.
Well, see, maybe that's the case. Who knows? Because I have all the secrets. So while we've been as a group describing these argumentative murder robots, I've come up with three secret things that the couple that you're going to be finding, or the alien that needs to fall in love, you're going to have to find out what their three romance requirements are. Those are my secrets. I have secret romance requirements. You're going to have to find a way to discover them. The last thing we need to set up is, where is this story taking place? Because we have to roll some dice to find out what level of technology this world has, what starting location you're going to appear in, and what material this world has in abundance. So let's roll our first dice and find out the technology level.
I hope it's caveman.
I was really hoping for one of the extremes. We've gone very down the middle. This is robots, but in an otherwise very modern day setting. Like, to the world today, but argumentative murder robots.
Hey, that means Skittles McDonald's manager shirt can might help us in some situation.
Oh no, we've landed in one of the periods of time where your McDonald's shirt might be relevant.
Oh my god. They're going to talk like Google Translate.
The location you will be starting this adventure in is at a beach. And the primary material this world has a lot of, has in abundance, is food. This is a primarily food-based planet we have stumbled into.
Okay.
Wait, yeah, cheese. Did you say cheese?
Yeah.
I feel like that's
look,
cheese.
Cheese is a food.
Okay.
Cheese is a food. So, look, let me set the picture for you all. You've used your magical time briefcases and been warped off on your objective, and you find yourself upon a beach in what appears to be a very average current day setting. You're sort of around the 2000s-ish. You're not too far away from that. You do notice that all of the buildings, a lot of the buildings are made of food. Don't know what purpose that serves these robots. You don't know much about them at this moment. You don't know why that's important to them. But there is a beach full of robots who... I mean, at first glance, you think they're having fun. Maybe they're having fun. They're doing activities you would do at the beach to have fun.
Volleyball.
I mean, of course, volleyball. You look over to one side and indeed there is some beach volleyball kind of happening. There's people with a volleyball and the net set up, but they're not really playing. They're having big, lengthy discussions about playing, it seems.
I'm picturing, Jersey Shore robots, where it's like they're clearly there to have fun, but they're all fighting. And you can't quite figure out why they're fighting. It's just happening.
Exactly. This is very much the vibe. Now, you look at your time briefcase and you have an hour of in-world time to, you know, go exploring. And there's a few things that are going to help you here. You've got your time briefcase will sort of point you in the general direction of the target you're looking for. Target or targets. And other than that, you've basically just got your item. What do you want to do? What are you looking for? What do you want to do?
I don't want to pet anybody.
You don't want to pet it? You don't want to pet the murder robots?
No, I might. So I think I want to use the built-in love compass that comes in our time briefcase.
Yeah. Well, right? So you've got two little directions being pointed in right now. One is, funnily enough, pointing towards the beach volleyball game that's going on. And one of them sort of pointing down the beach towards some people out in the water. You've got some robots sort of like waist high in the water. You're not sure what they're up to, but they're out in the water.
Let's go investigate our target by the volleyball nets. Or like our potential target, I should say.
Okay, well, as you head over to the set of volleyball nets, you very quickly realize that there is a very big argument going on. Everyone is debating, they're not even arguing about the same things. They've all just picked different things to be upset about. Like, oh no, that ball was totally out. Oh no, you stepped past the net. You definitely stepped past the net. Oh, the ref's completely biased to that. No one's even listening to each other. They're just having a good shout.
Are we able to tell which shouty robot is our mark for today?
I think it's not an exact science, but I think the best reaction you get from your time briefcase is one particularly angry robot at the back who is just really, really, really adamant about not counting the last point the other team scored. They are very, oh my god, you're cheating. I don't know how you're doing it, but you're cheating. You're cheating somehow, and you're not gonna win by cheat. Just waffling on about points having been scored erroneously.
All right. So, and then we have do we want to go investigate the other target before we try to?
That's entirely up to you.
I would say we definitely go check out our other options first. I have a plan of action thought up currently for our current target.
Okay, because I have a terrible plan of action. So yeah, let's...
Terrible plans of action are my favorite ones.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, I've got a lot of weird future and not so much kissing, so I'm not that friendly, and I just immediately empathize with the person who's angry and feels wronged. I just start like pushing everybody away, and I was like, they totally fucking cheated. I totally believe you. Definitely something fishy's going on here. Tell me about it. What happened?
See, and I'm sitting here being like, hey man, it's okay. It's all gonna be fine. Free love, man. With my little circular rose glasses.
I bring out my horny jail bonk bat. And I say, it's absolutely
smack
not okay.
Me in the head with it.
Yeah.
I think that this is just like one of those like things like that's happening off to the side. Nobody could see us. And I'm just like, come on, man. We just got to show them it's all about love. And Joa just bonks me on the head and says, no, we're going to go investigate the other people before we do anything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fine.
Okay, so as you head over to the ocean, you notice a group of robots out in the ocean who seem to equally be having a very bad time. You know, one of them's complaining about not wanting, like, being grossed out by the seaweed, but not wanting to get out of the water despite that. One of them's, you know, complaining about, like, not liking the fact that it's a rocky beach. One of them's not liking the fact it's a sandy beach. And there's one at the back. Again, all romance targets always at the back of the group, apparently. Who is just stood on their phone. Not a good idea when you're in the middle of the ocean. Just on their phone, having arguments with other robots on the internet.
Oh my god.
Not even having in-person arguments, having arguments with other robots on the internet while in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's bad. It seems bad for mechanical robots to be in the ocean, but I think everyone's just waterproof.
Look, they're deadly robots and all their friends are deadly robots. What's a little bit of rust?
It could be that the ocean's made out of oil.
Cool. Mm. I love this. The ocean's made of oil.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're working towards it as we speak, so.
Yeah. So yes, there is an oily ocean and someone who is so invested in arguing that they're not even arguing with their friends in person. They're arguing with internet robots.
Can either of the technology people, like, interfere with the phones to, like, send them a message?
I'm sure they could if they would like.
I do have a plan. I'm going to Bluetooth a message to them.
Yeah.
But what would you say?
Free McDonald's in the volleyball court.
If we can find out what they're arguing about online, we can try and figure out what we can say to them to get them to stop.
If you would like to do a roll to try and score on Weird Future, I can allow you to do some social media searching and see if you can find their account, see what they're complaining about.
Absolutely. Just to confirm, what dice am I rolling?
That is a d6, so just a six-sided dice. Yeah, you need to get equal to or less than your Weird Future score.
I have rolled a six.
Oh, no.
What?
So, okay, here's how I think this plays out. You bring up social media and start trying to look for their social media posts, and this robot notices their profile picture on your phone.
Oh no.
He goes, wait, what? Hey, you, what are you doing?
Well, you see, you're a very beautiful robot, and we just wanted to have a conversation with you. You look like the argumentative type, and nothing gets me going like that. So how is your day going?
No, I don't believe you. I think you're lying. I think that you're trying to spy on me. I think that you're some kind of gross spy.
Gross? I wouldn't go that far. Maybe disturbing. But
I'd go that far.
So maybe I intervene and I say, no, actually, I was just showing, I was telling them to look you up because I'm a big fan of yours. I follow you online. I love your arguments.
No, you're not a fan. I don't believe you're a fan. You're making it up. You're just trying to flatter me. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. No.
This is very don't ever put me in a situation.
So we need to think of a backup plan.
Yeah, this is a funny
No, you
thing.
Don't.
Oh no.
I'm going to whisper to the other cherubs. Our options here are limited. We appear to have made the hostile robot even more hostile.
In the background, a chainsaw revs a little bit.
Okay, we have to be fast. I have a backup plan. It involves cheese.
Can I just ask them, hey, what are you arguing about? Or like, hey, what are you doing? Because I have the kissing score, so like I figure romance is kind of like interpersonal stuff.
Yeah, I will let you roll kissing to see whether you can ask a question that doesn't come across like you're arguing.
Or like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Give me that kissing roll.
Please roll well. I'd like to remain in one piece.
I have a 5 for kissing, and I got a 4.
That is perfect. You have successfully. What do you say?
I say, hey, it looks like all your other friends are having fun at the beach and you're on your phone. What are you doing?
I mean, they're no fun. Look, they're no fun to argue with because the second I start arguing with them, they get off and do other arguments. And that's fine. I get it. Arguing's great. Arguing's so much fun. But like, none of them will argue back with me. And if they won't argue back with me, I can't win an argument. And it's not fun arguing if you don't get to win the argument, right?
So you like to argue and like stay on topic and make sure that it's your topic so that you can win the argument.
Well, yeah, exactly. I want to have an argument and I want to win. Because like, if I don't win, what am I even doing? If you're not playing to win, what are you even bothering with, or whatever the ninja quote is?
That makes sense. What do you normally like to argue about?
Literally anything as long as I win. I really don't care what it is. I just want to win.
Do you have a favorite topic?
Well, I don't think I've ever really stopped long enough to learn enough about anything to really be an expert in anything. I just want to win an argument. I didn't really think about the having to know about a thing.
True.
A true expert, I see.
Yeah. Having knowledge is overrated, I agree.
Yeah, I just say words louder and louder until they stop, and that's usually how I win. It works really well on the internet.
Mm. Oh, so that's why you're on your phone all the time. A lot harder in real life, I'm sure.
Oh, people on the internet will argue with me all day and night. They'll argue like until the cows come home. The internet loves to argue.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the benefit of arguing on the internet is that you can fact check each other in real time, which, you know,
I mean, you can, but I don't get to see the disappointed, dejected, upset look on their face when they lose.
Mm.
I just want someone negative in this life that I can win arguments against. That's all I want.
Well, if you're willing to lower that chainsaw you've got aimed at my head, I'd be more than happy to see if we can set you up with someone.
Look, if you can find someone I can regularly win arguments against, then sure, I won't kill you today.
You've got yourself a bet, you crazy robot.
Do you wish to do or ask anything else while you're here with this robot? Tell me what you're up to. What's your plan?
Let's go do some recon on the robot on the volleyball court to see how we can get these two together.
Okay. You head over and that previous robot is still arguing about those couple of points that definitely shouldn't have been counted and they should definitely be in the lead at the moment. It does not seem like this argument has gone anywhere.
I think maybe we can tell them that we just met someone who's got a lot of social media followers and is really popular on the internet and can blow their story up online and get everyone to argue about it.
I love that idea.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the boomerang effect. We can get you some visibility on this injustice that's happened to you on the volleyball field. We all saw it.
I really don't care what the internet thinks. I want them to admit they were wrong. I want them to admit they were wrong. They're losing.
I feel like what we want here is like a restorative justice situation. Everyone gets in a circle and talks about their feelings.
No, we don't want a restorative justice circle. They shout back at you.
Oh, fuck.
In unison, every robot on the beach looks at you and goes, we don't want a restorative justice circle, and get back to their arguments.
Well, there goes the plight of logic, so we'll have to think of something a bit more technological, I think. So, how can we interfere with all the robots so we gain an advantage over them and force them to agree with the argumentative robot?
What if...
This is so toxic.
What if...
It is, but it's going to be romantic by the end. You're going to find out how to make these two love each other so good.
What if our techie cupids can, like, make it seem as if... Like, reach out to this person on the internet and make it seem as if the internet is more invested in this story than they actually are. And we can direct it to, like, an online space as opposed to trying to influence all the robots.
So would that be a weird future role?
I think that would be a weird
future role. I should not be doing the weird future roles, just like so.
I want to see you do a weird future role. At some point, I'm going to make you do a weird future role.
I'll do it since I have 5 and all I need to do is less than that. So I'm going to do a tweet about the situation that's going on and I'm going to tag them in it mm-hmm. and say, like, I bet so-and-so has something to say about this.
Yeah.
What's their name?
You did not.
What's the type of cheese? Oh, well, maybe we should ask them instead of naming them.
That's fine. I'll say that you saw their name when you were stalking their social media. Their name is Brie.
Brie. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so I'm going to tag Brie. Okay, I'm gonna roll. I got a 5.
Okay, ooh. You have successfully gotten a 5. So, yeah, tell me what is. Give me your social media post you've done here.
Spilling the tea on the volleyball field.
Ooh.
Shit went down, and it's fucked up. Bet Bree's got something to say about this.
I think the way this pans out is, I think Bree. Looks, gets the notification, it buzzes, they look at their phone for just a second and they're like, And then it's a physical light up just above their head on the top of the antenna lights up. They've had a light bulb brain moment here. They've had an idea. And they come and join the argument on this volleyball player's side, who we haven't named. What do we name them? Stilton. So comes over and joins Stilton, and I think what you notice happening is that Brie is making the same arguments as Stilton like half a second later, but is basically being like, I don't know anything about this, but I will use your arguments and there'll be 2 of us. And that's louder and more than one.
They can argue together.
I mean, look, the couple that argues together, maybe they stay together, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
That's not toxic.
Not toxic at all. Yeah, so I'll say that, yes, you've got them arguing on the same side, and I think that the problem you get in response is there's 3 people on the other side of the volleyball court. They see this new technique arguing together. They got more people. There's 3 of them arguing together over there.
Now, I do have a plan, but this does involve violence.
How into violence are we? Give me violence. Do your idea. What's your idea?
Okay, we have 2 options. We have the go straight for it, brutal option, or we have the technology option. I'm not sure which you'd rather have.
Trust your heart. Your weird future heart.
I want to hear both. I want to hear both.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the rundown on both. The first one, the hostility option. Now, this will require some very strategic planning. But essentially, what we do, I get my briefcase, fashion it ready, and smash it straight over 2 of their heads.
Okay.
Hoping that at least 2 of them are knocked out. Then it's 2-on-1 and they win the argument.
That's just math.
Okay, yeah.
That is exactly.
I'm at least 12% sure that'll work. Okay. Alternatively, I could use my brain for a minute. I do have the record of Careless Whisper and my gramophone. If I shove the disc of the gramophone into the sand and make it as warped and horrible as possible and start playing it, it's bound to probably kill some of them. Or at least mess with them so badly that they'll have to give up.
So... I like both these ideas, and that is how I'm going to respond. If you want to use your gramophone and destroy that record and do it that way, I will give you a guaranteed success, but you will not have another opportunity to use that item this campaign. And that means that there will be the second time round you won't have it, and you won't have it during the final Kissing Gauntlet, but it will solve this problem. Alternatively, the hitting people over the head plan, I like it, but because you're trying to take two people out, I'm going to suggest two of you in the group are going to have to roll Weird Future and see whether you are both successful.
Okay, so are we willing to sacrifice my gramophone? Well, it's going to sacrifice both the gramophone and the disc. It's a one item, so are we willing to go for a joint roll? I'm happy to destroy my gramophone for this.
Okay. I've got my high Weird Future stat.
Yeah.
I will say, if all three of you wanted to try for Weird Future, if two of the three of you get it, I'll give you it.
I mean, I could try, but I have a one Weird Future, so I'm probably not a good person to count on for that.
Okay.
But does that mean you disagree with our action?
No. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, you're just not very helpful at it.
I'm like just not very helpful, man.
Look. If I was an entirely naked person, I wouldn't want to get into a fight. The bruises would show real visible.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just like, you know, I'm worried about getting sand in places where there shouldn't be sand, you know, if shit kicks off. So.
To keep your petulant nipples bruise-free, I will sacrifice my gramophone.
Okay, describe to me the following series of events. Talk me through it.
Okay, so I'm going to get the other two cherubs to provide a constant voice of argumentation between the two alongside the robots while I sneak behind the opposing force.
Okay, I want to hear the two of you do some arguing when this isn't going to fail or not, but I want to hear it.
I'm going to say we put them on the enemy side, so it looks like we're on their side whilst I sneakily set up my basic IED.
Okay. Ooh, okay, I like this. So, yeah, you're arguing for no, we didn't. We got those points fair and square.
Exactly. So let's hear some argumentation.
Yeah, you could see he wasn't over the line. I don't know what you're talking about. His feet aren't even that big. They wouldn't even come underneath the net when he's coming down from blocking. I don't know what you're talking about. This is ridiculous. Honestly, the fact that we're even having this conversation is stupid. And I shouldn't even be here because, you know, today is my day off from work, and I just wanted to spend it arguing and winning. And the fact that you're putting up so much of a fight over this is frankly making me very upset.
I love the dedication. Oh my God.
I got way too into that. That's great. Okay, yeah. Well, Amelia, tell us what happens.
Okay. I slam my gramophone into the sand. Pull out the Careless Whisper disc, shove it and just rinse it around with sand, and place it on the gramophone at full volume.
Oh my God.
And the deafening George Michael screech that comes out of the gramophone disables two of the robots, and the other one is stuck playing a Nokia ringtone.
Oh no.
I'm now trying to find out. Is there a public domain equivalent of Careless Whisper I can mangle and put in the recording here?
I know.
I will hunt something for you when we're done.
So yeah, you're on this side with the robots that are non-lover robots, and the rest of the non-lover robots have backed off. So it's only the two of you now making this argument against Bree and Stilton.
So you concede for them.
Yeah, yeah, I assume you concede on their behalf.
I say, ugh, fine. Because I want them to feel like they fought for it.
Yeah. I want to see a kissing roll to see you do a convincing display of...
Ooh.
Fake defeat.
Okay.
I want you to...
I like it.
Yeah, I want to see if you can sell the... Yeah.
All right, so I gotta sell my sadness.
Yeah.
3.
Cool. You successfully sell that you have been defeated in argument, and Bree and Stilton look over and just sigh this beautiful, happy smile. They, you know... best they've felt all day, and you get a real sense that this was a wonderful bonding moment that the two of them will share for some time. Now, for context, you still need to find out some things. There are three things that these two will need in order to have their happily ever after. So you might want to take this opportunity to try and work out what else they happen to like.
Can we eavesdrop on them as they, you know, I'm assuming they're talking after this little incident went down, yeah. So maybe we can try to eavesdrop on their conversation. Pretend we're just having a chill day at the beach, you know, just cherubs.
Yeah.
Chilling
I'm
out.
Trying to decide what role I want to get someone to make to eavesdrop. I think that's a weird future. I think you're trying to not be noticed. That's a little bit of a hostile act, so I'm going to need someone to roll weird future to
I
try and
take the role.
Yeah, go for it. Try and listen in.
You got it. I am rolling 3.
Okay. You successfully managed to get close enough. What's your little cover act as a group? What are you doing to not draw attention to the fact you're listening in on their argument?
Well, I am naked, so I am obviously pretending that I'm sunbathing.
Of course, of course. Goes without saying.
Buns to the sun.
I was thinking that we would be just like using a little drone or something to eavesdrop on them.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Considering we did a few weird future roll, I'm happy for you to have a little drone that has enough battery to do one little bit of spying.
A little drone.
Yeah. So you drone over to them and you catch the two of them sort of arguing-ish. It sounds less angry than previous arguments. You know, Bree's there like, oh, I definitely contributed the most to this argument. I was so good in this argument, wasn't I? I was so good. And Stilton's there a bit like, well, I mean, it was a good argument. I'm glad we won, but like, I was saying all that. You were just copying me, really. You were just saying what I was saying. But I'm glad you were here to, you know, louder is better, but it was me that was doing it. And the two of them are bickering, but not in a way where it feels nearly as malicious to each other. And I think as the conversation goes on, you get the sense that they're having a good time. I think they're both a little annoyed that they're not winning the arguments against each other. This isn't ideal. Both of them ideally would have liked to win arguments against each other. But they won an argument together, and that's, yeah, okay, I don't know, that's new. They seem all right with this.
I just have an idea for, this would probably be a weird future role, that when Bree gets back on their phone, I could have some kind of ad pop up that's like, here's how to really win an argument against your lover. Win arguments about arguments.
Yes.
Because you'd like, your phone is always data mining. Like, we can hear what you're talking about.
No, you're arguing about arguing. I love this. What I want to know is what is this secret you're going to put into this ad? What is the secret you're going to say to winning relationship arguments?
I'm going to tell you, Laura. I'm going to tell you. And let me tell you, it's true. So the secret to winning arguments about arguments is they just need to switch their target, because they're both saying, I contributed a lot to that argument, or, oh no, you copied. They should just be congratulating each other instead and arguing about how good the other one argued. So they're going to be battling it like, oh no, you're the best arguer. Oh my God, I've never seen arguing like that before.
So I love this, but I love this as a suggestion, but what I'm going to need from you, I think, is I feel like this needs both a kissing role and a weird future role, because you are trying to hack something into a phone to give good interpersonal relationship advice. And maybe I'll be nice and let you do this as a, like, pick someone to pair with to do it. And I think if both of you succeed, you can do this.
I'm thinking that if Joa hacks the phone, then I know that they saw the ad on the phone, and then I can start talking to them and saying some of these things to, like, kind of, like, so that way it's not all coming from, like, the phone ad. Like, it's like you see the ad, and then it's like somebody just starts talking, like, hey, man, like, wouldn't it be so cool if, you know, and you say things to, like, support what this person, you know, that they saw.
If the two of you each do a role, Stacey, if you do for kissing and Joa for weird future, and you are both successful, I will let you both have this.
Yeah, I also think while Stacey, while you're sunbathing and I'm writing this ad on my phone, I'm like, Stacey, how do I write a relationship or ephemera? How do I write a relationship article? I don't know fuck all about relationships. So you're also writing the copy for
this.
Yeah,
and I'm like...
That's how I vision it.
And I'm like, hey, Skillet, like, we're going to need your technology skills to, like, really make sure that we are, like, hyper-targeting this towards the exact person so, like, you can hack into the phone and make sure that we are showing this to the exact person.
And when you say it... When you say it to me, you tilt down your rose-tinted sunglasses and look over your sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here goes my weird future roll. I got a 3.
Okay.
Boom.
Cool.
Kissing roll is a 2.
Nice. Okay. I think this goes exactly as you had hoped. I think that between your combined efforts, you get the two of them arguing in ways that uplift each other. You know, you're amazing at arguing. You really helped back me up on that. Oh well, you know, I couldn't have done it without, you know, you echoing me a half second later. It really you really added to my argument.
Just and killing each other with niceness.
Killing like, each no, other
you,
with
you inspire me. You yeah. inspire me.
Exactly. So while this is going on, the two of them do eventually decide that, like, look, all this positive arguing has been pretty exhausting. They want to go sit down, get a bite to eat together. Thankfully, there's food everywhere. The buildings are made of food. It's great. The two of them can't decide what they want to get food-wise because... Neither of them will now express their own interests in what food they want to eat because they're just like, no, I'll get what you want to eat. No, what you want to eat. No, oh, what no. you want to eat. And as such, you have slightly shot yourself in the foot here in that neither of them is going to say what they want food-wise. And now this is potentially becoming a little bit of a problem for them. They do stop arguing long enough to laugh at someone falling over and really hitting their head pretty bad on the floor.
Oh, good.
And then they get back to arguing about not knowing where to go for food. Look, the entire future depends on them. The intergalactic peace government never comes into power if these two don't make out.
Yeah, but what's the intergalactic police government done for me recently?
Oh, shit. Did you say intergalactic police government?
Oops. Well, them too.
Oh, no. We really, like, crossed our wires in real life.
Oh, dear.
The peace government. The intergalactic love and togetherness coalition never forms.
Beautiful.
If these two absolute assholes don't fall in love. Look, their great-grandkids are going to be really wonderful people.
So, if we already know their social media accounts, can we kind of just, like, look through those? Like, not... Because I don't think that requires, like, hacking, necessarily, if we've already, like, been in there.
Like, see what kind of food they like, or
something. I think so. I think you can find out for Bree, because you've seen Bree's social media. You did a role for that. Bree really likes just good dry crackers.
Of course. Yeah. Maybe for some fig jam.
Say
that I might with Stilton, if we could like go on a little walk or something, because maybe I asked them like I want to get some food and I want some advice or just like, you know, this world could have been made of chaos, but instead it's made of food. We really lucked out. And you know, a really good way to choose food or to make decisions is to just fucking roll a dice.
Did you name Stilton after a cheese on purpose?
Yes. The first one was named after Brie because they're a cheese.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, like cranberry Stilton would like really hit right now with like some crackers. Anyway,
we do have an option then. If we can find a building, like go for this walk and find a building made of crackers. My hat is made of cheese. We could end up having some sort of mini charcuterie for them.
I was thinking of kind of a way that we could convince them.
Yeah, I like that idea. I haven't done this yet. I'm going to make you roll the thing you're bad at. I'm going to make you roll kissing, because that's an interpersonal relationships thing you're trying to do there.
Uh-oh. All right.
I'm trying to break up this budding couple long enough to go get food recommendations.
What have I done? It's fun. Oh, I got a one.
Oh, hell yeah. Tell me how your person who's really bad at interpersonal relationships manages to pull this off.
I just come out with it in the beginning, and I'm like, look, I'm really bad at interpersonal relationships.
No, you're not. You're really good at them, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, you got me. You were really good at interpersonal relationships.
Well, you know what I'm not good at is choosing food, and it seems like y'all are not good at choosing food either. And so the easiest thing to choose is
Oh, no, I'm great at choosing food. I'm great at choosing food.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm great at choosing food.
Prove it.
Oh!
Well... I mean, proving that I'm great at choosing food, you know, that's going to be real easy, because then I'll win an argument if I do that, right? Right?
Oh, I would be so owned if you did that. That would
here's the secret. I really like just plain dry crackers, just dry crackers.
And then I'm just going to slowly turn and make direct eye contact with Skittles.
How can I help?
Did somebody say real dry crackers?
I don't like that statement, but I see where you're going.
I'm sorry. That's your cue.
I take off my cheese hat and present it to you like a trophy.
Oh, God!
My hair is incomprehensible.
Oh, no, it's just redacted.
It's one of those, like, bleep sensor bars that you get in bad shows.
Mm-hmm.
So you now know that despite the fact these two were arguing about where to go, they do both want the same thing. They do both ultimately... just want to have some dry crackers, that Brian Stilton.
I'm trying to figure out how to make this into an argument. So maybe if I'm looking around, there's a lot of buildings that are made out of different types of dry crackers.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess.
About what flavor?
Conveniently, there's a lot of cracker-based buildings around. You don't know whether they're plain crackers or whether, you know, some of them might be lightly flavored. You know, you don't know. But they all do appear to be made of crackers. It's a good wall-building material. Nice and dense, insulated. It doesn't sort of crumple.
I'm having this feeling like we could go around and sample all these crackers and argue about which ones are better. And this could all be just live-tweeted. This could all be live tweeted.
Yes, and they can include little polls in the tweets so they can get even more people involved in the argument and increase the intensity, because you know, in order for them to feel like argumentatively validated, it needs to be with as many people as possible, you know?
I like to think that everyone's so involved in the cracker tasting that they forget about your hat, Skittles. And maybe maybe you get to put it back on if you want to. I don't know. I'm just saying, without anybody noticing. That's my hope for you, is that your cheese goes uneaten. Or maybe just a little nibble. I'm not sure.
We can hope. We can hope.
I think I'd like to see some weird future roles to see whether you can successfully convince them that there is a big argument outside of themselves over which is the best building made out of crackers.
I do really like the idea that in order to get two people to get together, we're going to start a whole internet movement about
cracker buildings. This is going to be the whole, it was the dress blue and black or gold and white.
Yes.
Like, you are going to create this universe's, no, the shoe store made of crackers is far better than the optometrist of crackers.
We create an entire Yelp that's just about cracker buildings.
Just cracker building reviews. Amelia, give me a weird future.
Yeah, you got it. I have rolled one.
Well, this goes better than you could have expected. Not only is there a huge argument going on all around you about which building made of crackers is the best, but the chaos to determine which is the best cracker building in order to have more argument points to, you know, fight others with is just leading to some real carnage. There are robots, like, tearing each other to pieces, literally dismantling each other to find out whether the cracker-based McDonald's taste better than the cracker-based Burger King, for example.
There's lasered out holes from all the buildings.
Because we can't forget that these machines are all deadly. So, like, by instigating and feeding this confrontation, we are contributing to worldwide violence.
Exactly. They enjoy being deadly.
Look, I don't know whether they enjoy being deadly, but I know that if you look over at these two, just as your hour runs out and you start feeling yourself get pulled back through the time stream back to the start, you do notice the two of them really enjoying watching the violence happen. Before you know it, you are back on the beach. And you have one more go. This is your time. Can you make the romance happen? Now, as a reminder, on this attempt through, at certain points, you may find agents of Daipuk trying to get in your way. So what do you do? What's your plan?
Where did we start last time?
I think we looked at like what was going on in the volleyball field. People were fighting. And then we saw Bree in the ocean. Totally inside her phone. You did something, Skittles, that Bree was not convinced by. Oh, wait, no, I also did that something. Bree was
we
not
failed,
convinced by us.
Stalking, didn't we? I get the feeling we should start with Bree this time. I'm not sure why, but my Skittle senses are tingling.
My suggestion would be just like before you, because this is your last attempt, take on board everything you know. I think that's worth doing, going like, what do these people like, and what are you ultimately like? Is there a situation you're trying to lead them towards? What do you think is their perfect, this is romance for these two?
All right, so...
Date of destruction.
Yeah.
Oh. They like... I was thinking eating a cracker and meeting in the middle, like Lady and the Tramp.
Yes!
Because then they're kissing, but they were eating a cracker. They get to destroy the cracker while they're eating it. That's deadly.
So they like...
They could be chainsawing through the buildings and then meeting in the middle as it collapses around them.
So they're like winning arguments, dry crackers, and watching deadly destruction.
Oh my god, they're 60-year-olds.
Pretty much. So anyway, we can help set them up for that, I think.
Anything you can do to put them in a situation where there's dry crackers... brutal carnage, and the two of them are both winning arguments.
Maybe we can move the volleyball game into one of the buildings so that it's being destroyed.
Yeah, I was thinking actually, like, what if we could escalate the volleyball argument to, like, a death match, and then they watch it and they argue about who fought better? Because then they get to both argue... They're watching brutal carnage, and then maybe they're having, you know, like a little cheese and cracker plate on the side.
Is this the the salting stadium or the cheese coliseum?
Yes.
Or the
I was literally you know, picturing. Where,
oh
like,
no, it's the salt
latatorial.
It's the saltine stadium. It has to be now.
To our advantage, a Daipuk agent might get killed in the crossfire.
Ooh.
I mean, look, if you have an opportunity, if you spot a Daipuk agent and you have an idea of how to kill him, go right ahead.
So we don't have to feel bad.
Okay, so give me a resummary here. You're aiming to make this happen at the Saltine Stadium.
Yeah, so I think we're... Well, at least my goal, I think, since knowing what we know about these two, you know, young lovers, is that we would like to escalate the volleyball argument into a brutal death match so that they can watch and feast upon crackers as other robots fight to the death. And, you know, hopefully a DIPOC agent gets caught in the crossfire.
I like your plan. The one thing I will, you know, we can, if there's any things you're going to do the same way you did them the first time around in the loop, we can kind of skim through them. But there is one place, at least in your plan, where Stilton wants to win that that volleyball match, and it's going to be tough to do that now you're down one gramophone with Careless Whispers.
Heck yes, it is all but warped.
Yeah. So yeah, what you're going to need, I suppose, a plan of how are you going to convince someone who wants to win this volleyball match to go somewhere else and watch the volleyball match become murder?
Do you think that we can convince... So he probably had... We didn't like really ask about this the last time around, but he probably had teammates, right?
Yes. I'm going to say he had teammates who were both not engaged in his argument. They were around. They were just arguing about other things at other parts of the court.
So if we're going to go with the deathmatch idea, we'd have to find a way to get somebody else involved in the deathmatch without it being him.
I'll suggest maybe if you can get him to win his match and go, hey, what if the next match was a deathmatch that you got to watch? Maybe. I'm throwing ideas around.
Mm.
Alternatively, if we can distract him somehow and hack one of the other, or at least two of the robots, one on either side, have maxed out aggression towards each other so it just becomes an absolute bot bath, that could be an option.
That's a good idea.
It just escalates from there.
I mean, there are very few better ways to win an argument than the people you were arguing just kill each other and now you're the winner.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to put that into action, or do you want to work out what your other parts of your plan are before you set it into motion?
Depends. Does everyone want to go with that, or do we want to look at other options we can go with?
I mean,
with?
I think...
I love escalating this to violence. Yeah.
Yes! Oh, my people.
Escalate it to ultra-violence. That's what I want.
Okay, so... Whilst I'm hacking, I'm going to need the two of you to figure out a way to distract our dear boy Stilton so he does not get murdered in this giant bot bath. So how are you going to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my infinite pet hand.
You do? Oh. How do you think it will help? What's your plan?
It is just a bodiless hand. I think at first it might... At first, just distracting this floating hand coming over. But maybe I think with Stilton, this hand can start to argue, because that's what Stilton likes to do. And so Stilton starts to see that they're communicating with this hand, that, you know, it's doing a thumbs up, it's doing a thumbs down, it's doing a hang loose. So that's really engaging and distracting them. I don't think the petting is going to work. It would probably get lasered.
No,
so.
I'm happy for you to have your one guaranteed victory from this. I will say, a mental picture that I have going on right now is this hand arguing in American Sign Language, because a lot of its signs are one-handed signs.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant.
You've just got a floating sign language hand doing arguing in sign.
Yes.
I thought it would be doing the mouth motion, but that's so much better.
As a totally
just the mouth motion, like a thumb going up and down.
Yeah. Oh, no.
As a totally random side story, when I was like 10 or 12 years old, my friends and I all taught ourselves sign language so that we could sign underneath our desks instead of passing notes. So we could talk to each other, like, during class with sign language. Like, you know, because they have, like, the desks, like, in a little horseshoe. So, like, you can just, like, sign your hand underneath it. And Emma was just like, wow. How fucking bored were we?
That is commitment to the bear.
Yeah, it was...
I love that.
So yeah, describe to me what happens between the two of your... Actually, yeah, we need a roll from Amelia for the hacking, because
yes,
we have guaranteed the distraction, but we need the hacking.
Now, when we say weird future, it's hostility, technology, and weird stuff. I'm going to lean towards weird stuff on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, when I picture these robots, I'm thinking they've got a few ports.
Yeah.
Let's say they have a USB port in the back of their head, maybe for like when they go to the doctors, they need just like a software update.
Yeah, run the diagnostic USB, I get it, yeah.
Exactly. Now, my hat is made of elemental cheese. More aggressive type of cheese than normal. So, if I was to slam some of my hat cheese into this port, it may cause unexpected aggression.
Oh, roll me that weird future roll.
I'm on it now.
The Mick hack.
I got a 3.
Oh, perfect. While Stilton is distracted from, while Stilton is distracted by this hand sign-languaging arguments at them, these other robots just start fucking murdering the shit out of each other, about as brutal as it could be, oil spraying everywhere, brutality abound. Now,
I love that, like, Kill Bill style.
Yes!
Exactly. It's the kind of violence you would get in an 18-rated Wii game, where it's like, it's not technically blood, so you can have it spraying everywhere.
Oh god, this is getting very cheesy.
Oh!
I was picturing, kind of like a giallo film, where it's like the super stylish, like, Italian horror movies from like the 70s and 80s,
yeah,
where it's like, you know, this black gloved hand and it stabs down and the blood just goes spraying. It all looks very fake, but it's all very entertaining.
Yeah. It's very, like, it's halfway between, like, genuinely artistic and also that's kind of hilarious, I can't take it seriously. We're a little bit in the slapstick realm. Mm-hmm. So
clown fiesta.
I'm gonna throw this over to you, Stacey, because the other two have set up some violence that is in a second going to have an argument will have been won and some violence will have occurred. One of our romantic partners isn't here to see the violence.
Oh,
yeah. Where's
we did?
You're gonna need to do more violence later if Bree's not here to see the violence.
Okay, so I'm gonna walk over to Bree, or swim over, I guess, because she's in the water. I think
sort of wade back, waist
I'm gonna
high
wade
into
over.
Take some video
water.
First. Take some video. Get some footage
and
first.
I'm gonna just like sidle up, and I'm gonna like lower my glasses down a little bit, and I'm gonna like peek over the top of them, like over towards the carnage, and just be like, "Whoa, are you seeing what is happening over there? That is some straight drama. Have you seen this?" What does she say?
I like your very careful not at any point stating an opinion that could be disagreed with. you're all learning, and I'm very happy that you're not falling into my trap. It's great. I think Bree looks over and goes, "Is that two people losing an argument so badly they're murdering each other?"
Yeah. It looks like really bad. I've never seen any argument like that extreme. You gotta see it.
Bree's already wandering over, walking over and saying as if you're still next to them, "I've got to be a part of this argument. If I win an argument where someone murdered someone else because I won, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing." Just on their way, nothing's going to stop them getting over to winning the argument where two people lost so hard they killed each other. So I think that Bree arrives over and very quickly... I think as Bree's arriving, maybe the hand drops the argument so that Stilton goes, "Oh yeah, I was arguing at those two." Just in time for our first Dipuck agent to step in the way and try and ruin this whole thing happening.
Dun dun.
Oh fuck.
So, our first agent is Bland Jeremy. Bland Jeremy comes and stands in between this potential loving couple and this brutal violence and attempts to distract them by reading out alphabetically the letters from the day's crossword puzzle. The least violent thing possible. I mean, if you look along the fourth column, you can see there's actually three A's in a row, so that gets us started on alphabetizing the crossword. What do you do?
I immediately run over and I grab the Dipuck agent by the shoulders and I shake him and I say, "Man, they're killing each other over there. It's crazy. You have to look at this." Hopefully gathering the attention of anyone who is also watching the spectacle.
I really don't have to watch this. I'm here to inform you that despite being one of the more uncommon letters of the alphabet, X actually appears four times just in the diagonals alone on this one. And he's really, really trying to make this as boring an encounter as possible.
Now, the robots may not be filled with rage from this, but I certainly am. How lethal are we allowed to be towards these agents?
Look, if you can win a weird future role, you can enact violence.
But what kind of violence? We really need to zhuzh it up. We need to make a spectacle to make them fall in love.
Chunky salsa kind of violence.
I mean, they've never seen chunky salsa kind of violence. They've only ever seen violence against robots. This is just flesh and blood human right here.
Yeah, because you've got... So weird future is like hostility. Although, I guess, like... I'm trying to wonder what, like, what a kissing killing would be like.
Okay. Let me... Give me a sec. Let me have a think how we can make this work.
Feeling very femme fatale here.
I'll say this. If you were to try and talk someone into doing something, say, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if you pushed him into the fight?" That would be a kissing role, because that is trying to convince someone to do a thing.
Okay, so I could convince one of our...
Maybe even convince our two robots to do it together. Yes. That might be
bonding.
Wouldn't it be sexy if you two pushed that's a body into thinking. That fight?
So I'm going to sidle up to them and I'm going to be like, "Hey, this guy's like a real wet blanket. And like, look at all this like cool carnage that's going on in the background. And he's just sitting up here like, you know, reading stuff off the crossword. So boring. You know what would be really cool, though? If we pushed him into it and just see what happens."
Give me that kissing roll. Give me that kiss of death roll.
Three.
Okay, so I think the way this plays out is the bland Jeremy hears what you're saying and goes, "No, that wouldn't be entertaining at all, I don't think." And Stilton and Bree in unison go, "Yes, it would," and push him into the carnage. And in doing so, demonstrate that they were correct, and therefore they won an argument together.
Oh my god!
That's so sweet in a really fucked up way.
And I think bland Jeremy is just getting fucking shredded.
Yeah.
This is chunky salsa. Like, in a game where there were, like, reviving people from the dead magic, if we were playing D&D, would not be applicable to bland Jeremy. Bland Jeremy is gone.
We incited people to murder together, essentially, is what we have done. And I feel like a great success because of it.
This is true romance. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. As a thought for food for them, I know his name is Bland Jeremy, but would he be good on crackers?
Ooh.
He is definitely a salsa now, so...
I mean, look, I don't think either of these robots... I don't think Bree or Stilton have ever tried mangled Dipuck agent on cracker.
Exactly. They can't argue it. They've known that well. They don't need information to argue, I guess. But it's worth a try.
Yeah.
I mean, you can try if one of you wants to try and convince them, "Hey, this would be tasty on crackers."
Yeah, I mean, I think you could talk to them about deconstructed cuisine.
As a fast food agent myself.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to let you use weird future to convince them because...
Well, because it's...
You have been from weird places in the timelines.
It's science-y, you know.
Look, it's the science of food and you're wearing your fast food outfit. This is a weird way to go do a weird role.
Absolutely, I'm going for it. We've got a one!
Oh, well, okay, describe to me how you present the idea of deconstructed food that involves a mangled dyepack agent. Give me that speech.
I have to sell this like an advert. Oh god, okay, I'm gonna do it. Like
I
want to
hear
advert,
your like best advertising voice. Imagine there's some gentle, like, for UK folks, imagine there's the Marks and Spencer's like advert music, the sort of gentle, slightly jazz behind.
God. It's not just Dyepuck, it's M&S Dyepuck. Oh god, I'm trying to think. I just walk up, I've got a plate of the cracker from the nearest building I could hack a bit off. I dip some in the sandy, gritty giblets that are next to the what remained of bland Jeremiah.
Oh, God.
Offer it on a plate and just say, this is true decadence. This is an M&S food.
For anyone not in the UK... Okay, for anyone not in the UK, Marks and Spencer's is a brand that does food, but they really fucking, like, they try and pretend they're the fanciest fucking thing in the world when they're, like, a stage above your general, like, grocery store.
Okay.
But they want to pretend that, like, the queen eats there is the sort of energy they're going for.
The one of the things I remember from when I visited England was Harrods. That's, like,
yeah.
About it.
Marks and Spencer's wants to think it's Harrods, it's not.
Okay.
So both Bree and Jeremy are about to try this wonderful, wonderful food when your second Dyepuck agent comes in and they are...
Is it a play on bland Jeremy? Because that would be...
Flavourless Franklin.
This is bland brackets the food, not the emotion, Franklin. This is bland Franklin, who's here to not be emotionally bland, but to tell them their food tastes are bland.
Ooh.
He's hoping to get them into an argument to distract them from actually trying the food. He's like, oh yes, this, it's amazing. I love it. No one could possibly disagree with me, could they? To disagree with me would be to suggest that it's bland and not worth trying. That good old reverse psychology coming out.
I have a thought, but we're going to need a charmer for this one.
Oh, is that, so, that sounds like me.
Yes, so I'm thinking. Yes, they could have these delicious crackers, but I believe the meat's been in the air a bit too long. It's been on the ground. What better way to experience it than fresh from the farm Dyepuck agent?
You've had bland Jeremy, but have you had bland Franklin?
Mm.
Fresh from the farm, just bite straight in, take a good chunk off.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, I think I'm going to go a step further and say that you actually, it's like a lobster. You don't want to kill it before you eat it. You want...
Oh, no!
I was going to say that, like, it's not salsa time. The texture,
yes,
is what's important.
You know, because...
So you really need to slice it,
yeah,
off.
Yeah, because, you know, if you kill it first, then, you know, it senses fear. There's the taste of the hormones in the meat. If you just scoop a chunk out of it when it's not suspecting it, it tastes better.
Oh. So, I want to get a kissing roll to see whether you can get them on board,
okay,
with this.
Okay. 5.
Okay. So, you do successfully get them on board with this plan, and they're just about to go for their big attack, ready to do this. And Dyepuck Agent 3 comes in. Very flavorful Kevin. Very flavorful Kevin wanders in and goes, oh, but you wouldn't want to pair that with such a very, very, very poor quality cracker, would you? Such a shame that the best crackers possible, gestures over to Saltine Stadium that you never ended up using, is mid being dismantled by a very large group of robots who have heard word those are the best crackers.
Oh dear.
Oh no, you're rapidly running out of access to the best crackers.
Hmm. We gotta get over there.
Yeah, let's get them over there.
Okay, how are you gonna get them over there? How are you gonna stop people taking all the saltines? What you gonna do?
I think we run over there with them, you know? We're like, yeah, like, let's... Like, we're part of this with them now. Okay. We've encouraged them to cannibalism, so...
Is it cannibalism?
I was like, they're robots, is this okay? Especially for my buck agents. I also, considering... I wasn't sure how far away the Saltine Stadium was. Obviously, we can see it, but we've got a volleyball net here, so I think we should just slingshot.
Yes!
Everybody.
Okay.
Including very flavorful Clay.
Yeah. Well, because he's going to have to be the flavor for the crackers.
I have an idea.
Yeah?
A terrible, terrible idea.
Tell me your terrible, terrible idea.
Obviously, we want to bring the Diepark agents with us, and we want to be as hospitable and kind as possible to them. So, as the three of us, we load the first Diepark agent in, you know, bland... I've forgotten the bland one's name, oh dear.
Franklin. How could you forget Franklin?
Bland Franklin.
Bland Jeremy. Bland Jeremy is dead. He is in salsa pieces. Bland Franklin was Diepark agent number two. And then we have very flavorful Kevin, which should absolutely end up smeared on a cracker before this session is done.
Exactly. So hear me out. We get Bland Franklin, gently slingshot him over, no troubles at all. And then we really pull it back for the last Diepark agent and yeet him into the building, turning him into a smushy little paste which dribbles down, ready to be served.
That's two birds with one stone.
Two Diepark with one cracker. Mm-hmm.
The building is already crackers, so you're spreading the dip over all the crackers. Everyone could just take a little piece.
I think it's also thrilling for our robots.
No, I think this is an amazing idea. I think this is a wonderful idea. I think we can definitely catapult Flavorful Kevin at the Saltine Stadium. I think that we're going to need one last thing to make sure that by the time you all get over there to Saltine Stadium, that all the Saltines aren't gone. And I feel like this is gonna have to fall down to our one person who has a romance item left. You've still got some rose-tinted glasses. I don't know how you can make use of them, but I feel like this is your moment.
Oof.
So if we all get slingshotted over, I guess we all have little... wings.
Yeah,
you've all got wings, and okay. I think the robots will be fine. I think you can catapult yourselves over, but I think this is how do you make sure that just instantly the robots don't swarm and take all the flavorful Kevin crackers before our romantic couple do.
I think we send the couple first, and then we send Kevin. So that way, they're already standing there being like, what's going on? And then Kevin just goes splat. And then they're like, whoa, cool. And then I think for my rose-tinted glasses.
Does this planet have a sun?
It can have a sun if you'd like it to have a sun.
I'm just thinking about whether or not your glasses are like magnifying glass kind of power.
If you want to use them that way, I think that's very, very plausible.
So could we potentially like maybe... I could, like, use them to toast some crackers on another building and make them, like, exclusive crackers so they don't even have to go to Saltine Stadium. Oh. We could make it, like, a romantic date just for them, their own private building, their own private smashed Kevin, and...
I really like this because the way I picture this is that... Yes, Saltine Stadium was labeled as the best crackers. But this is a couple that don't want to do something just because people told them. They want to argue and say that something else is better and feel superior.
And they can argue against the world, and they will always be right because they're the only people who got to try it.
No one will ever be able to tell them they're wrong because no one else got to try them. This is beautiful.
That's amazing.
So I think that... you catapult them over first, and they're sort of there like, okay, I guess there's some cool crackers around here at some point. You catapult flavorful Kevin through the air, splatters across the crackers, and then the last shot we get is the cherubs all flying through the air as you toast the crackers upon your descent, gently landing and watching the happy couple eat a set of crackers that no one will ever be able to win an argument against them about. Mm-hmm. That was the result of some murderous violence on some delicious, plain dry crackers. Mm-hmm. And with this, your time briefcase begins to glow. You don't get to see how this plays out, but as you're fading into the light, you do just see a very gentle robot kiss.
Oh!
I was waiting for it.
You get back to the headquarters of Cupid, and you have a look at your little readout, and it seems like the Intergalactic Peace Coalition exists. You did it. They had so many fucking children. It's wild. most of the Peace Coalition is just their children. They really found that having a common enemy was a thing to bring them together.
Oh, they're so messed up. I love them.
I am just so amazed at how all these little things came into play, like, in the last moments of the... Like, what?
Look, yeah. So, welcome to a game of Kissing in the Weird Future. I hope you have had fun. Let's do some self-promotion. Where can everyone find all of you? Stacey, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'm Stacey, also at Geek Remix a lot on Twitter and Instagram. I am on the Geek Remix Twitch and YouTube channels with my best friend Mari. So that's pretty much where you can find me. You can also, on the Geek Remix podcast feed, you can find me and Mari and Laura talking about video game porn, which is the Pixel Squirt podcast. I like laugh about it every time I talk about it because it's always like, how did this even like get?
How did this happen?
I don't know, but it's a genuinely wonderful thing where we talk a lot about cinematography and like feminism, yeah. And also porn
and
is
I
happening.
And I swear to God, I've gotten so much positive feedback about it where people are just like, wow, like, I don't know anybody else that talks about this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I can't imagine that this would be a well-traveled topic, but we love it. Yeah. So,
if you want to hear feminist critiques of, like, I don't know, when characters from The Hobbit bone,
yeah,
come to us.
That's so specific. this is multi-level to me because, like, great topic, great issues being discussed, but also I just love the word squirt. So every time you say it, it makes it, yeah, a little giggle escapes me at the same time.
Yeah.
So I hope that's happening for everyone out there.
Joa, where can people find you on the internet?
Yes, so if you want to see me being inappropriate and shitposting, that's at Pussy Full of Wasps. That's what that's for on Twitter. And if you want to see all of the awesome people in Philadelphia, Atlanta, California, mostly fighting for social, racial, economic justice, that's at Change Funding on everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We usually post about grants and funding opportunities. So if you're doing protesty, activisty things and you need money for it, that's where you go.
Hell yeah. Amelia, you were on the internet. Tell us about you.
Yeah, absolutely. I spend way too much time there. Yeah, you can find me pretty much. My name for everything is Subliminal Siren. So you can find me that on Twitch, Steam, and... Twitter. Yeah, I use that now. Jesus Christ. What a world. But alongside that, I'm one of the co-organizers of Transactivism UK alongside Laura. We do some amazing work, like lots of different protest activities, and we've got lots of stuff coming up this year. So by all means, go to Transactivism UK on Twitter and Facebook. Find us there and try and join in for some events if you can. Or yeah, we'd love to have you on.
And at some point, we're probably going to do a Pokemon stream of some kind, maybe together at some point.
Oh gosh, yes, we're looking forward to that being a thing.
We got some cool stuff. So thanks, everyone. We did it. We did it. Bye.
Love you. Bye,
Amelia. I want to know your favorite kind of cheese.
My favorite kind of cheese?
Yes.
I've been thinking about it for the past 2 hours.
Oh my god. I
don't actually like cheese.
Oh, what?